Let's give our attention to God's Word, Daniel 5. There are 31 verses. So beginning at verse 1, it says, King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, and that the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. The king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed. His thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed. His color changed, and his lords were perplexed. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your color change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought from Judah. I have heard of you, and that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and then solve problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness he gave him, all peoples, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed. And whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up. And whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne and his glory taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast. His dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God rules and the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you. You and your lords, your wives, your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron and wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways you have not honored. Then from the presence, the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed, and this is the meaning that was inscribed. Meni, meni, tekel, and parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Meni, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command. Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. If you go to the movies, you pay an arm and a leg, and you get your refreshments, your ticket, you go in and get your stadium seat, and should refreshment be needed midway through, you think about it long and hard. You paid your $93 for your ticket and your popcorn and whatever. And you go out, and upon return, you whisper, but many of you, I hear you in church, you've lost your ability to whisper, and you say, what happened? What did I miss? And everybody around you shushes. Well, while you were out, the plot thickened, right? Time passed, the story commenced. And you might think in reading chapter 5 of Daniel that you stepped out for a moment and you've missed something while you were on bathroom break or popcorn break, whatever. You've missed something. Maybe you noticed that there's a different king, a different name. And so in chapter 4 of Daniel, we end with Nebuchadnezzar. And now we come to chapter 5 of Daniel, and we jump, about 23 years, something like that. Let me explain. Last time, Nebuchadnezzar was king over Babylon. His reign came to an end, and his son, evil Merodach, became king. And that didn't last very long, and so his brother, Nergal-Sharezer, became king. Well, that didn't last very long, and so another family member, Labashi-Marduk, these are starting to sound like god names, right? He became king for a time. And now we have a co-kingship. We have Nabonidus and his son Belshazzar, not to be confused with Belteshazzar, which is Daniel's Babylonian name. So we land on Belshazzar in chapter 5. So we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kings now. We jump from number 1 to number 6. Belshazzar is probably the son of Nabonidus, and they're probably co-reigning. Babylon is in decline, and so kingship goes from long dynasties to quick little plots and schemes and backstabbings and neck cutting and all the rest. And so Belshazzar is our king. And Belshazzar has gotten a little too big for his britches, let's just put it. He has inherited the kingdom of Babylon, which is a massive kingdom. It spreads far and it spreads wide. There's many governors, many officials, many regions, and many riches, and many nations over which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken over. He's inherited the throne, probably schemed for the throne, and he's at ease, he's arrogant, and this night, this very night, God will have him. God will take his life tonight. And I want to go ahead and give you the punchline of this passage. God may require you this night your life. Don't be arrogant like Belshazzar. Don't be at ease. This night your life may be required of you. How will you live? Well, Belshazzar is going to party like he's Barack Obama. How much better could a preacher have it when a self-centered ruler wants to throw a party for himself than none other than Barack Obama during a pandemic, who has been on the bandwagon of mask and COVID, throws a party with 500 guests and 200 workers, and he makes Martha's Vineyard turned upside down for his 60th birthday. You've seen the photos. They're starting to leak out. He partied like it was 2021, no face mask, all the rest. How much better could a preacher have it when he's going to preach on a maniacal ruler and a self-indulgent party? Well, that's how we want to begin tonight, the first four verses of chapter 5. There's a party in Babylon. But there's another problem in Babylon. It's not just a party. It's not a party during COVID, a maskless party. It could be, and it's very likely, that Babylon is under siege. You noticed at the very end of chapter 5, when God requires of Belshazzar his life, it says Darius the Mede became the ruler over that region. Darius the Mede is who will send the exiles back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. It's Cyrus and Darius who are large part the responsible for sending the exiles back to Jerusalem. And guess what? They send them back to Jerusalem with the vessels of the temple that were in the treasury but are used tonight as Dixie cups for drinking. There's a party in Babylon. Babylon is probably under siege. They are provisioned up. They are fortified. The walls there were thick. They were high. Some places 22 feet thick. It's as wide as this room, maybe. The wall is 45 feet tall. It was an impregnable city. And the Tigris River ran through it, so they never ran out of wine or water. And what did Belshazzar think? It's all good. He might have thought, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That could have been the case. But this was an arrogant man. And you think for just a moment about parties in the Bible. And parties during Babylon. Remember Esther. Queen Esther was a Jewess in Babylon under the exile. And Ahasuerus threw a big old party. And what did Ahasuerus want Esther and others to do? Wanted them to come and perform and entertain. And no, I won't profane. But Ahasuerus threw a party. His kingdom was from India to Ethiopia. And how long was his party? It was 180 days long. Hey, let's throw a 6-month party. Why don't we? These parties are shows of wealth. They're shows of confidence. But tonight, the joke is on Belshazzar. He is throwing a massive party. And it's interesting, there's wives and there's concubines at this party. Usually the women partied separate. It was just the men. But the women folk are even here. And what happens at this party? Well, they run out of Dixie cups, right? Somebody didn't buy enough. He's got 1,000 people there. And so what does he say in his drunken arrogance? Let's use the vessels from the house of God at Jerusalem, which my father captured and are now in our treasury. He's going to take the sacred vessels that were put together during the time of Moses, kept under care by the Levites, and used only for set-apart purposes. Now think for a moment about what God has done in the past when people profaned. Remember Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire? Put to death. Remember Uzzah, good intentions. He reached out and touched the ark of God in order to stabilize it on the ox cart. And God put him to death. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. They lied about their offering and God took their lives. And God is going to do the very same thing tonight. There's a party in Babylon and this drunken, arrogant idiot, he has an idea. We'll use the goblets and we will drink from them. Well, at this party in Babylon, we come to the next phase of the story, a hand from heaven. While they're celebrating, while they're blaspheming the name of Yahweh, while they're worshiping other gods, a hand from heaven, a hand from the presence of God comes and begins to write on the wall. This sounds a little bit like my cartoon watching days, Scooby-Doo, something ghostly taking place. But can you imagine the 1,000-plus people and this hand is visible and the record stops playing? The gasp of the people, the shock and the horror in the room, the handwriting from the Lord comes. And verse 6 tells us its effect. The king's color changed. You bet it did. His thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way. His knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters and all his helpers. This was a drunk man who sobered up mighty quickly. The hand of God was in his presence. And it's a moment in time where you see quite a contrast. Here's a man who needs no God. He can party like it's, 539 BC. because he's got it all. But all of a sudden, he doesn't have it all. It's about to be taken from him. And who does he all of a sudden need? His enchanters don't work. His sorcerers don't work. His magicians don't work. And so who does he call on? He calls on God. He calls on the man of God. But this hand from heaven writes this thing on the wall. And here's what's interesting. All right, so you got the siege going on outside the city. Most likely that's what's taking place. The hand writes on the wall. And notice it says it writes on the plaster. And probably best guess, they're in a room that's the grandest room. It can hold 1,000+ people, servants and all. And on the plaster on the walls, there would be artwork. There would be a relief. And that on that artwork, that relief would probably be the picture of one of the many victories of this empire. And so for God to write over that victorious painting, your days are numbered, or the jig is up, right? Tonight, your life shall be required. It was a poke in the eye. Now, it was a poke in the eye that Belshazzar drank from the goblets, but God has a bigger finger, and his poke is a bigger jab. And so this hand from heaven ruins the artwork on the wall. That victory becomes mighty small. Now skip ahead to verses 24 and 25. I know we're getting ahead in the story. It says, from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. Many, many, tekel, and parson. This is the interpretation. Many, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed, and in the balances is found wanting. Paris, which is the singular form of the parson, I believe. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and to the Persians. So this hand from heaven gives what would really become for Belshazzar his life verse. You have a life verse, right? Maybe a proverb, a psalm. Well, for Belshazzar, it was many, many tekel parson. I'm found wanting. My days are numbered. My kingdom is given to an end. Maybe you've seen the Babylon Bee, the joke. The family accidentally put an imprecatory psalm on their Christmas card, their family mugshot there, and it says, O Lord, break the teeth of their mouth, shatter them before them, something like that. That's not what you want on your Christmas card. Maybe some of you have a little applique on your wall, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Maybe as a little joke to remind your family, a little religious humor, you could put many, many tekel parson. It's sort of humorous, but we're weighed in the balances, aren't we, and found wanting, right? We're unrighteous. Our days are numbered. This night, God may require our life from us. When I was in high school, there was a movie everybody went to see. I know that I didn't, but it was called I Know What You Did Last Summer. And every teenager got a little letter in the mail that just simply said, I know what you did last summer. And they all knew what it meant, right? We fear being found out. And the handwriting on the wall has found out the king of Babylon. All right, so there's the man of God. You've got a party in Babylon, a hand from heaven. There's the man of God. While the party is getting on, this hand comes. And everybody is aghast at what takes place with the hand on the wall. There's all this noise. Belshazzar is shaking in his boots. His people can't interpret the dream. And you caught it, the queen hears. Now, this is the queen mother. This is not his wife. His wife is in there celebrating with him. Her husband is so great and mighty, and she's living it up just like he is. But this is the queen mother, off in a separate room, but she hears the noise. Now, a mother knows the difference between party noise and something's wrong noise. And so she goes in and sees all the noise and the racket, and her sobered up son all of a sudden needs Daniel. And she says, hey, there's this guy. He was great. Your father loved him. He was his right-hand man, that kind of thing. Bring him in. So he brings him in. Whoever interprets the dream, you'll be third in my kingdom. So the father was technically the king. Here's Belshazzar, second in command, but the de facto king, as it were. Daniel, I'll put a gold chain, a purple robe. I'll make you king. Now, you can imagine Daniel's probably thinking to himself, what a sucker. This kingdom is going to end tonight. I mean, everybody knows there's a siege out. And so what does he say? He says, you can keep the luggage. You can keep the prize money. I'll just do my job as a man of God. He's opposite of Belshazzar. Belshazzar, whose heart is lifted up, is opposite. David said in Psalm 131, my heart is not lifted up, O God. My mind is not on things too lofty for me. And so here's Daniel, the man of God. And he brings to Belshazzar a message from God. That's the last section of our passage. So you got a party in Babylon, a hand from heaven, a man of God. There's Daniel. And he gives a message from God. And he basically, I think you see this, he gives him a "you spoiled brat" speech, right? He says, while you were out driving fast and chasing women, your father was king. While you were out there living it up, your father received from God many things. He received power. He received a throne. Whoever he wanted to live, he let them live. Whoever he wanted to die, he put them to death. He made some rise up. He humbled others. And so he says, your father, the sovereign, was given this from the sovereign hand of Almighty God. And it says at the beginning of verse 28, I'm looking at the wrong verse there in chapter 5. It says, but when, in verse 20, his heart was lifted up, his spirit was hardened, he dealt proudly. Remember the dream last week that he had interpreted? He was sent out from among the children of man. His mind was made like that of a beast. His dwelling was that of a wild donkey. He was fed grass like an ox. This was for 7 years. It was until he knew the Most High rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And it says in verse 22, this is the punch. This is the poke in the eye. And you, his son, Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. This is the message from God to Belshazzar. But this is the message of God to us. We need to be so careful as Christians not to quench the Spirit. We need to be careful as Christians not to get away from the Word. We need to be careful as Christians not to say, I'm a 5-point Calvinist. I know my theology. I memorized my catechism. I know all the hymns. I can sing them by heart. I tithe. I sit in the same seat. I go to church. I live an upright life. Because you can still have a hard heart. You can still, by God's hand of providence, be let in your sin. You can prize things of the flesh and the world and the devil. And God will hold you accountable. Did you catch that? You knew this. And this night your life will be required of you. This is the message from Almighty God. You're arrogant. You profane the vessels. You've worshipped the gods of silver and gold and bronze. You've took the Lord's name in vain. Well, Belshazzar is one matter here, but how about you? God has been gracious to you. He's been merciful to you. He's saved you. And so why not worship him and live steadfastly for him? This passage, if anything, teaches us God will settle accounts. He will put us in the scales and weigh us. Let us not be found wanting. He will divide up our blessings and spread them to others if we live in arrogance. What does Jesus say to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, not the high in heart. Blessed are those who mourn over their sins. And these are continuous actions. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he goes on through the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. And these passages of the Old Testament are reminders. God does not play around. The jig is up, right? Many Tekel Parson, he says to Belshazzar, you have been condemned to death. This night, God will settle up with you. Here's a mighty question for us. If God were to require our life of us this night, have we settled our accounts with him? Have we sought his forgiveness and sought his grace? The end of the passage is pretty chilling, isn't it? That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed. It's not very ceremonial, is it? He's just dead. He's gone. Who knows how it happened, what happened? It was probably an act of treachery. Might have had a heart attack and his heart just popped out of his chest because the color never returned to him. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. One last thing to think about. God is never to be trifled with. One of the things you'll see at the end of Chronicles, and then you'll see it at the beginning of Ezra, is these vessels that they drank out of this night. These vessels are carried off into exile, and they're put in the treasury at Babylon. And then years later, decades later, when the decree is given by Cyrus to return the exiles to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and reestablish worship there, guess what comes out of the temple treasury? These very vessels. God keeps an eye on his ordinances. And so when we play at worship, when we're self-centered, but do enough God to keep God happy, so we think, we ought to be careful of the pride of our heart and the arrogance. But we also ought to be careful when we know the word of God and we live in direct contradiction to it. God will say to us, you knew this. And thanks be to God for Christ, that he has forgiven us of our sins. But God calls us to live a holy life, not a life like Belshazzar, but a life like Daniel. Let's look to him in prayer. Pray with me. Lord, we ask that you would help us to see the words of the wall, the words of Daniel, the man of God, to Belshazzar as words to us. This night, our life could be required of us. And so we want to live right with you. We want to have faith in Jesus. We want to have his righteousness, his forgiveness, his pardon. And we want to live a holy life by your word and by your grace and by your spirit. So help us not to be arrogant, but to be humble and to be poor and mourn and meek and to be seeking after your kingdom. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.